Peace be with you, the Lord says to his disciples. In the ethnologue, that is the catalog of world languages, there are listed 6,909 living languages. 6,909 living languages. And that is not including all the computer languages that people code in. I don't want to leave all you engineers out, right? There's more languages. But with all those languages, experts tell us that 93% of communication happens in nonverbal body language. 93%. Now think about that for a moment, that only 7% of what we say is communicating what is going on in any given situation. Maybe that explains why, despite the fact that we have more people connected online through Facebook or the internet and Instagram, Twitter, all the different, more people, billions of people are connected, more than ever in the history of humanity. And yet, we seem to have even more disunity, more factions and breaking up. And maybe the reason is because 93% of the communication is not really happening. Only 7% is what's going on. And we think we're communicating. I mean, one of the struggles with the internet as such is we have access to so much more information, and we've divided ourselves into factions so readily, yeah. Whether it's politically aligned, or is it religiously aligned, or whether it's to do with other issues of sexuality or gender or whatever movement, we break ourselves up into factions, and those become self-reinforcing areas of ghetto information, if you would. And we do not take in any more diverse information. So maybe that's the reason, we don't know, but I think that it's a common experience that we yearn for true belonging. We yearn for true belonging. And internally, instinctively, we know that we are bigger and better when we're together and when we embrace each other's gifts. We instinctively believe and know that, and we want us to be together. We want for us to belong. And yet, our experience of that has become more and more, or less and less frequent, more and more uncommon. I think what best illustrates this is a movie some time ago, and I'm not sure if you saw it. It was called Divergent. Did you see the movie Divergent? No? Okay, so let me give you a little synopsis of what the movie was about. The movie was a futuristic movie about a dystopian view of the world. Not utopian, dystopian view of the world, where things were broken up, and they had there was factions. And there was a great line in the movie, and I don't know if you remember, it was factions over family, factions over blood. And that's what they said over and over again. And the families were at a ceremony, almost like a quasi-religious ceremony. Everybody gathered, and then when you reached a certain age, you became part of the faction, and you left your family forever, never to speak to them ever again. Faction over family. Now, I want to tell you, that's the exact opposite of what we celebrate in Christianity. And the most exact opposite of what we celebrate today in the Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit that unites us in the midst of our diversity, that unites us as a single family of God, a single family of God. And the challenge for us is first of all to allow that Holy Spirit to operate in our lives and to bring that reality about. Because secular society does not enable that, does not actually encourage it. It instead encourages this rugged individualism. All on your own, you can do it. And as Christians, we simply don't believe that. We believe that we are better together in the midst of all our diversity. And Christ, in today's readings, we hear the second reading talk about these diversity gifts and the Corinthian community struggling with this diversity. And Paul writes them, assuring them that the gift is given to not you as an individual, but given to you as an individual for the good of the community. And that's exactly what we're going to celebrate now with each of these confirmandi becoming fullest members of our community. That the gifts that you have, that God has given you, is for you to develop and grow, not just for yourselves, but for the community. That the gifts you're given are given for the greater good of all. But if that's true for you, it's true for all of us. So how does that work? Well, it's this gift of the Holy Spirit, this what's known as the advocate. Now, often when we hear this advocate, we hear in our head that God gives us the advocate. It sounds like that we have an advocate on our behalf to God, that this Holy Spirit advocates for us, pleads our cause before God as some form of judgment, and the advocate is there to defend us, advocate for us. But actually, that's, I think, a misreading of the whole thing. I think the advocate is the other way around. The advocate is God's advocate to us, pleading God's cause to us. Pleading with us to listen to God, to allow God to do his work in our lives. And that's where we get the strength and the grace to be this family of God. Now, let's get an example straight from Scripture. Now, understand what the disciples had in today's gospel reading. They give this gift, the Spirit, he says, I give you the peace I give to you. Now, bear in mind what has happened before us. Just recall, go back 50 days. Go back 50 days and what did they experience? Their friend, their rabbi, their master, their teacher was wrongly convicted. He had a whole bunch of fake news riled up against him. I mean, that's what it was. It was fake news. That Jesus is this rebel rouser and a revolutionary. They knew it wasn't true. They got him convicted and had him murdered. And their disciples knew it was not true. And they ran in fear of their lives in disparate directions. Just ran. Now, Jesus comes back in this resurrection accounts in his last 40, 50 days. We see the resurrection in that the Lord comes, assures them that it was all okay, and gives them his Holy Spirit and says, do as I do. The peace I give to you, I ask you to give to others. Forgive as I have forgiven you and pass the gift on. And that's exactly what they did. They did not return violence for violence. They did not look for revenge for Jesus. They did not try to persecute those who had persecuted them. Instead, they preached the gospel. They preached the good news of Jesus Christ and that the Holy Spirit was there to forgive them as much as it was the disciples themselves. We are called to do the exact same thing. We are called to be purveyors of this very peace. We are called to be disciples and to model our behavior just like the disciples did on Jesus. And the only way we're going to be able to do this, guys, is if we allow the Holy Spirit into our own hearts. We can't do it on our own. You might try and we'll fail, I can guarantee you. But we are called to allow the Holy Spirit to move our hearts, to set our hearts on fire, and to be like these early disciples and to be just like Christ. So what does that look like for us? It means that we are the ones who are called to forgive when people hurt us. We are the ones called to be the first ones to be gentle and kind, the first ones to seek reconciliation. But remember, 93% of this is going to be nonverbal. Our body is going to be screaming before a single word gets out of our mind. A single word gets out of our mind. I think that's where we go wrong. I think we think our words are sufficient. We think coming to church is enough. And it's not even the beginning. Not even a single drop in the ocean of what we must do. Our entire lives are screaming something. What is it that they're screaming? What is our body screaming to others when we meet them? Are we communicating peace, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness? Or is that just the 7% of the words we're saying and the rest is counter? We come to the Eucharist every Sunday because we know it is darn hard work to keep our words and our actions together. We're honest. When stuff goes wrong, our body is already communicating how ticked off we are. And we come to learn to allow that Holy Spirit to move us, to guide us, so that at least 50% of our body language and where our body is and what we have our body do is aligned with what Christ as a disciple is. We are the family of God with all the diverse gifts, each one of us different in different ways. And so we are called to be united in Christ Jesus. We are called to have a singular faith in the one Lord, in the one Christ, and one faith. So today, what we ask for each of the confirmandi to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, and we ask you to allow this to happen in your life, we must ourselves continue to allow that Holy Spirit, that advocate of God, to plead his cause to us and to really, really act in accordance with Christ. To act as one family, in one Lord, in one faith. Family over faction.